Special number 16730, Mr. F. Harrison, final reel 11.
Mr. Harrison, reel 11. What date did you get into Liverpool?
Might have been about the 20th, some in that area, because we got home for Christmas.
Were you still in KD, or had you changed your winter clothing?
Oh, yes. No, it was
it'd be rather chilly.
Yes, well, we could feel the cold, all right, with bush hats and, you know, everything. Well, there was no way where we could change. We only had what we had in Rangoon.
Did you have any kind of reception on the dock?
No, yeah, not a thing. Not a thing. I mean, I've seen all this on the telly and everything, we had cheers. And we got off there, got on the train, up at the organisation, and got on the train, and away we went, and I landed at a little place called Greatham, near Hartlepool. And I went right through Ferry Hill, which is only Liverpool Road. But I got to Greatham, and it was a bit of cold. And we got some sort of barracks there, little rooms, or just little ones, just about like this, just with a single bed in, and a little stove. That was about a place like that. Another sergeant was just the same, just like that. Well, had a stove, we had nothing to burn. And that was bitter. Well, I mean, we could feel it. And we were only there a couple of days. And then all paraded and everything. And we're going to send you on leave now. And you'll be posted as near home as possible. I says, good. So when I got my dog, a brother came back with us at the same time, older brother, and he was posted to Sedgefield, which was only, well, I would say, a canny walk to Chilton, only about five, 6 miles. And I got posted to Chelsea. I said, thank you very much.
You had your leave first. How were you received when you went?
That was great. Oh, there was a grand reception there. And
did they have the flags out for you in the street? Or?
No, there was nothing like that. But my mother, she had a party. She had a party because I had quite a bit of money to come from the club. And they pint checks. Because every time anybody bought, we got them and all that. I think I got about 144 pint checks, I think.
This is built up over the years that you've been away?
And about £70.
And how did that come about?
They used to get pint checks every, only to pay the Easter, or because the club was doing well. And
when the customers got the pint checks?
They went and we got them as well, so being a member.
And yours had kept on doing the
money,
years.
Any money, what they used, just for the lads abroad, and it was about £70, and had all these checks. So what a party, and like a welcome home party, and then my mother was a radiant concert hall, my dad. And had about 3 weeks leave, and then I departed down to Chelsea.
Were you meeting on your leave people who obviously served in the forces during the war? What about those you met that looked young and fit but hadn't served? Was there any?
No, I never give it another thought. I mean, it was there, good look, I know, but I know some got out of it. It's the who they were and who they knew, which happens. And
this didn't make you angry?
No, yeah. No, I knew one or two of the lads had gone down, which I didn't know about, you know, I was getting about things like that. which were friends of mine, like, we went to school together. So
that were killed?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get involved in seeing their parents? Or?
No. No, I was never involved in anything like that at all, because, you know, I didn't know anything, because I didn't know of anybody else that, apart from my brother. There was only another lad, I think, he was killed, George Wilson from Chilton, in Burma. And
was he with the Durhams?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, he was killed in Arakan. And, no, I never saw anybody else. It was in the second Durham.
How did you take, when you went on a leave, how did you take to a life in a house, to what you'd already led for so long?
Oh, it was strange. It was strange at first. I mean, and food-wise, I mean, you just couldn't eat it. You know, I mean, your stomach had contracted, I would say. You could live on less food, which I think would be a good thing these days and all, if you'd. Well, you could do it. You could do it and still be fit. Maybe fitter. If you
had you lost some weight to the time that you first joined?
No, I think I would be about the same. But in between, I lost, which was understandable. I mean, the least I was of about 8 stone now, which I was bad. I was out of sorts anyway. But I was posted to Chelsea, and I was living in Cadogan Place. I don't know whether you know Chelsea at all. By Cadogan Place, it's a millionaire's quarter, that. And it's in a sort of a crescent. Oh, great big houses. And one rooms in these big houses, Rolls Royces all the way around. And
What were you doing there?
Well, once I got settled, I had to report to Knightsbridge, which was at the bottom of Sloane Street. So we walked down there and made myself known down there, and it was a big hall and everything else, big kitchens where they cook and it all sorts. I said, well, what am I doing here? Anyway, when I got to the door, he says, you've got a crew here, and they're all ex-prisoners of war. I think it was about 25 men. And they've only had a corporal to look after them. Well, there was an officer started at the same time, and he was, and I don't know his name. I cannot tell you his name. And this was in 46. And they called the corporal Barden, because I knew him, because I went up to his home once with him. And I said, well, what do you do here? Well, he says, there's drafts coming from abroad, from where you've, see, he's talking to me, where you've come from, there's still drafts coming from abroad, the Middle East. Now, it all depends what time of day or night they get here. They've got to be fed, they've got to be documented, and they've got to be issued with the European scale of clothing. And he says, your crew here have got to be detailed in the shifts, whose turn it is, and it used to be night shift and day shift. So he says, you'll have that to do. Well, he knew all about it. Well, I said, well, we'll work something out of a roster. And this captain, there was a captain that was in charge of all, you know, everything going on. But it was wonderful. Bah, the food, I've never seen anything like it. There was all sorts. I mean, the lads coming in for breakfast and, there were kidneys, there was as much bacon and everything, yolk, everything there. And automatic washers. I mean, there was no washing up of the sinks and all that. Just bang them in, and everything was modern. And as I said, the food was marvellous. Things we never saw. Live like kings. That's what they got. I mean, we got. You know, a lot of times the drafts come in, and lads say, "Oh, I'm not bothered about that. I want to get home." And we weren't far off the tube. The lad said, I don't live so far. If I can get on a tube, I can get away home, catch a train, or, you know, I can get away home without all this. Well, we just used to document them, give him a couple of vests and a couple of underpants or something, a shirt or something, the way that was him. He was. And there was always loads of food over. You know, there was plenty. I mean, we could, oh dear, you could sit on the side of it eventually, but the good cooks, there were those. When I used to watch them, I said, how do you get cabbage like that? And he just said, oh, we'll get to buy carb in and all this, and it used to come with this lovely green. And I said, yeah. But there you had to keep the place clean, mind. That they were very strict on hygiene, and it would be kept right.
Were these army cookhouse places?
There are the one, army cooks. In fact, I think the pub next, there was a pub very near, and well, that Heath and Haig, I believe they used to get in there, and farther up the road was Albert Hall was farther up the road. It was just a walk around in Hyde Park, and you know, it was just across the road and all Hyde Park, near Serpentine and all that. But I saw a lot of London the time I was down there, and it was...
What state were the prisoners that were coming back to you? You said you had a little group of prisoners. What were they like after their experiences?
Oh, they were all right when you got talking to them. One of them escaped three times, and he still finished up a prisoner. He was a Welsh lad.
Were these from German prison camps or Far East? Or?
Middle East, really, mostly. Mostly Middle East. France, Italy, or places like that. And then there was other lads, well, the drafts that was going home. They were coming from India, Burma, Egypt, all the places, you know. And...
Were they easy to control, bearing in mind that they'd been away through a lot of tribulations and here they were home?
Oh, yes, they were like us when we came home, the happiest Chloe. Oh, no problem. No, I don't think I ever saw an angry person at all. Nobody played one, and they were always grateful for what you were doing for them. And as I say, there was always had loads of clothing for them. I mean, there was some of them coming and they hardly had anything going away. They were battle dressed and all sorts to get for them. They were still in the army. I mean, I was still in the army then, even though the war was over. And, of course, you only got demobbed according to your group, the way we were called up. Just only opposite. And I was down... While I was there, I got married. Well, that was a bit of a tearjerker. We were married on the 12th of February, and these lads, unknown to me, they got together, and this present. This is take that home here, and we brought this present home. Well, I couldn't believe it. I said, well, the lads hardly know us, you know.
These are your prison group that you were looking at?
You know, I mean. And anyway, when I came, we got money and everything. And cake, I mean, we still had the cake. I thought about even things. My mother always managed somehow. And we were still in the workman's club then, of course. I mean, we were in where there was drink, and butchers all liked the drink, and the bakers like so. I mean, we... Everything worked Wales, within Wales. And I came, well, I fetched a nice big slab of cake for them, you know, and really felt saying that for you. Well, marvellous. It near that. A bit sentimental, like the things they got.
And what had they bought you? What was the present they'd given you?
Ian Odin. Oh, there was some sort of like an ornament or something. That was nice though, nice it was.
And you'd been courting your wife for some time, had you?
Oh, I knew her when she was about 14, and well, I knew another one and all. since she was about 14, and I was writing to both of them at that time, right? But we're all right. And, when I knew Jenny, when I was serving my time. Then the other one got married while I think she got married about 3 weeks before I got wounded. That was in 1943. That was it. And my sister stopped writing. I mean, which was obvious.
You got a special leave to get married?
No, I was married on the Tuesday because the club couldn't close or anything like that. It was Tuesday was a quiet day, and we were married on the Tuesday. And I was just given a couple of days off because I could come home every weekend if I wanted.
So after 2 or 3 days, you're back down to Chelsea?
Yeah, down with the Chelsea. And I was at Wembley a couple of times, and we used to get tickets for all the shows. So many.
You'd see the damage that London had received, and was this surprising to you? Were you surprised by it?
I was surprised how little there was. There was a lot of damage, I mean, but London's a terrifically big place. And I went through places that you could say there'd been no damage, but you maybe come there, well, there's a bare patch there and everything. But there was a lot of places untouched in London. And I was in one of those folks that was doing that. Them's awful. They are awful. I mean, all's quiet, and everything's quiet, and it's a funny feeling.
So how long did you do this job?
I was there right till, I think it was about the beginning of May, I think it was, or maybe in the second week of May. Maybe the third week of May, so something like that. And I was posted to Morpeth from there. I had to go. I mean, man had enjoyed it there. And I met some grand lads. And went to Morpeth. I said, well, they weren't there, you know, too long. And I used to go down to Whitley Bay. Tynemouth. I used to go to Tynemouth, and a few cadets used to be down there, like, I think the RAF cadets or something. Yeah. I used to take them for a bit of drill and marching up and down and whatnot. They used to enjoy it. They used to get old dinners while we were there. It was all right. It helped to break the monotony. And I think I had a couple of nights at the dogs, one of the lads I piled up with, his father's been a boatmaker, or he was a boatmaker. I said, well, I don't fancy dogs. I'm not a boring sport to me. It's like that motorbike racing around the track. Oh, I can't stand that. I tried that once, but anyway, we didn't tow too bad at the tow meetings. I went down, and we always get into Morpeth a little bit. Not a bad little place, Morpeth.
What was the camp like? Was it good conditions?
Oh, yes, that was all right there. There was billets, it'd been army billets. And while I was there, I was on the victory parade in Newcastle. And I had a squad, training a squad to march them up and down, and which to do, and everything else. And then we finished on the victory parade.
Was this a DLI squad? Was it still the regiment?
Well, I don't know. They were all DLI, but there was just a crowd that was there just to make the. As I say, when I was Martin Short, I heard this voice, Sergeant Major McLean. Sergeant, and I was looking around, and you could do anything. I just started waving to them, and no name.
Were the big crowds out for that particular day?
There was a lot of people out. And I remember that day, all right. And then I got back to Morpeth. And we were just waiting then for the mob, which came in June the 19th. I was only a day out from being called up, like June the 20th. And I was demobbed on the Mine was on reserve after that.
What was the process of demobilization?
Well, all we got was a document to say, right, you report to York. That I think there would be some barracks there. What what they call them? I don't know whether Stencil. Is it Stencil? That's them. We report there, and it was a big place. There was all sorts of clothing and all, hats, boots, and everything, top coats, raincoats. Well, I never used to wear a hat those days. My older brother always says, "Well, get another trilby." So I got him. I got a suit and a raincoat and shirts, shoes, socks, underwear. Man, you could keep a lot of your own clothing, which was good. I mean, I had a great coat, and it was one of the fine ones, not one of the rough, hairy. It was a fine one. I kept that. Well, that used to do for me for going to work and everything. You know, it was just to keep cold out. And the pullovers was great. So it used to fit me nice. It used to fit me grand then. And some of the shirts that we used to get, they were fine. And it was all good work wear. And the boots, especially. Socks.
And you weren't charged for this if you kept
it? No, we could keep a lot of that. And
did you have a medical?
To come out.
When you left, yep. Yes?
Yep. He pronounces fit, but I mean, it's that sharp. I mean, you're in one door and out of another. I mean, you feel all right, yeah, so on you go. Think you're back on you.
But they didn't check on your wounds or anything like that?
No, it was never. And I was still having a job getting, when I came home, I get a top coat on. She had to help us on my top coat.
With your arm being
still. Yeah, we're still pulling. Even though it had been a long time, but it came all right eventually.
When you left it with your parcel of clothing, were there any people there wanting you to sell them? Or?
No, never.
There's nobody at the gates?
No.
The spivs of the day?
No, there weren't like cook barn figures, anything like that, but I made the... It was nearly like when you went in, what size camp did you take, and it tossed a lot at you, when you join up. there was some nice shouts. They were free. Church and everything was nice.
You would have money that had accumulated on your wage and so on, and the gratuities. Well, how much did that come to at the end of the war for your 5 years?
Well, I got that later when I was demobbed, and was it 90 odd pound? I'd
That was your gratuity?
Like a gratuity. And I'd 17 weeks leave with pay. Well, I had about 6 and I started work, so I was still getting another 11 weeks pay. And I got 211 pounds from India, tax refund. I paid tax while I was in the army. Because with the rupee concession and the Far Eastern allowance, I mean, it was bumping my pay up at £4 and £5 a week, a single bloke. Well, that was when I was out there, of course. And, which was all right, I mean, they weren't making that at home. And
what did you feel about your gratuity? You haven't gone through all this in the war and you got this sum of money. Did you feel
it? Why, at that particular time, I mean, why? It's a sum of money, and my mother had saved a little bit. I mean, she helped make her allowance. While I was a private, I used to get a shilling a day. Then as soon as I was full corporal, I doubled it. It was only a couple of shillings. And she never spent anything. Why, what the older brother and myself did, we bought her a real fur coat, a good. And at that time, we got £250, like I said, but she was worth it. So that was a good coat.
You said you started work. What work did you go into?
Oh, I was bricklayer. But I had to take my time with it because I was still having bothered. But rehabilitation, like, you know, and it all, it come right. And I came out, then I came to live over here. I was a Chilton then. I was still a Chilton. And we lived there in early 47. We came back and I started work for a private contractor. I was just going into, there was a little door office here. I was just going in there just to sign on to say what. Well, I didn't get the sign on. He says, well, I'm looking for somebody. I says, well, so that was it.
How did you settle down to home life? Did you have any problems after the years of army and, of course, the problems and the stresses of the jungle? Did you find it difficult settling down?
Lack of friendship. I had no pals. Of course, we were moving over here. And I didn't do. There wasn't a lot of pals at home, really. I mean, they were spread all over the place. Lads I really knew, and I came over here. She didn't want to live at Chilton. Well, I mean, you got to get the peace. And she wouldn't move out of this house. If she was blown out, she wouldn't move out of here, out of this house, because she's lived in nearly all her life. And I nearly went back in the army. I told her that, so I'm going back in the army. I said, I have no friends here, I have no pals, and just going to work. Anyway, got turned round and I got into the way of things, everything, and I never looked back.
Did you feel down, depressed for a while?
Yeah. I mean, I still say no. In the forces, you've got. I mean, the real pals, you know, I mean, what they do, I mean, the fighting next door, yeah, when you're in action or anything like that and all sorts, and I mean, they'll stick by you and everything. And your friends is all right, you know, but I always thought the pals in the army were always more sincere in what they were outside in Civvy Street, but... I've had some good mates though since I came to Shildon. I know a lot of people in Shildon now.
You didn't get involved in the various reunions and associations after the war?
Well, I joined the Burma Star Association, but I got disillusioned with that. I used to go down to Aycliffe. That's where it was. Well, I went down and there was only this Sergeant Templey. I used to get down there. I was in our battalion, Wolf Templey. And... Well, he disappeared because he was a miner. I was left with a load of rough lads. And that's all there was. And I said, I'm not enjoying this at all because I was always on the outside. I mean, you never mixed in it, you know. And that particular, I wasn't pushy. I wasn't a pushy type at all. And I got a bit disillusioned. And I never became a member of the Legion, the British Legion. I never joined anything like that. I said, right, I'm out. So I'm joining the Downs this next week.
The Down at Bishop. The Regimental Association, Bishop
Auckland. I said, I might as well. So I go to the meeting next Tuesday, I think it is. They have a meeting every Tuesday. The last Tuesday in the month, so... I got a ride down, ride back. So,
did you ever feel a little displeasure because you were the forgotten army?
Yeah, oh yes. We used to feel awful about that. Of course, there was one time they were taking everything off us. I mean, these boats, LCAs, and everything. They took all those off us, and we were. I think it was till Mountbatten come and let them know like that we were there. And General Slim, a great fella that.
You met him, did you?
Oh, yes. That's my thought. I mean, he came right through the ranks. Slim. And his son, I've been reading about his son. What, a couple of weeks since.
Did you ever get close enough to speak to him?
Not to speak to him, not there, but I've been inspected by him. And that. And Mountbatten, I've been at Boy Neighbours. He was what I'm, you know, go, gather round. That's the first time we saw him, crack a joke or two, which he could do, and gather round and just He told us all about what was going to happen to Kame. He says, you're going when it's wet. Man, it was wet. Aye. Understatement of the year, that. All right. What a funny time to start an action.